The Second World War in Europe was winding down back then. German armies were in retreat on all fronts. In 2.5 months, Germany, which lay in ruins, would surrender unconditionally. The date on which I ask you to focus again so long ago, February 13th, 1945. Freeman Dyson, 22 years old, was then a uniformed office worker for the Royal Air Force in England. I was a captured American soldier, as was Jim, a private, a slave laborer in Dresden, Germany. That night, February 13th, 1945, the Royal Air Force burned Dresden to the ground with the greatest man-made firestorm in history, killing 135,000 men, women, and children. That is more people than were killed at Hiroshima. In my book, as I made, I was writing my book for an American audience, and so I made it seem more of an American event than a British. It was, in fact, a British atrocity, as they came over at night and set all the fires, and we simply bombed during the daylight to sort of help. And many years later, I corresponded with Freeman Dyson. I'd reviewed his book, Disturbing the Universe, which I'd liked a lot. And he already knew that I had survived the Dresden firestorm because of my book, Slaughterhouse Five. And he told me of the minor clerical part which he had played in its planning and execution. Just an office worker, you know, keeping the planes in the air or whatever. I asked him if he had any idea why all those civilians had been killed and why such a beautiful city without war industries, without air raid shelters, and with the war almost over in any case, had been turned to ashes and stones. He said it was purely bureaucratic momentum. What are we going to do tonight? Now, the war, remember, had been going on for England for nearly 5 years, and huge organizations had come into being there, and here, too, essentially corporations whose business, day after day, month after month, was to wreak havoc on Germany and its allies. They were not meticulous. These bureaucrats were not meticulously supervised, could not have been meticulously supervised by the great leaders on our side, Winston Churchill, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and Joseph Stalin, God help us. The effectiveness of such leaders in wars which cannot be finally settled for years and years depends on their delegation of most life and death decisions to well-chosen subordinates. The chief executive of the bomb-dropping division of the Royal Air Force was Sir Arthur Travers Harris, nicknamed Bomber Harris. And there came a day when there was nothing more for the employees of Bomber Harris to do unless they wanted to bomb Dresden, an untouched city of no military significance. So they bombed it. Now, I've said before that to every sort of audience in many parts of the world that the destruction of Dresden, as important in the history of music and architecture and art patronage as Vienna or Budapest or Prague, did not free a single death camp prisoner a microsecond earlier, didn't cause a single German soldier to stop fighting a microsecond earlier. I've gone further, declaring that only one human being on the whole face of the earth, think of this, benefited from the fire bombing of Dresden. I am that person. I got $5 for every person killed. Nobody else has come forward to claim any benefit at all. You didn't get anything out of it, did you, Jim? No. Those who argue with me when I say such things don't do so in military terms. They do so with a literary device, with a metaphor. They use one word or phrase as analogous to another one. The firebombing of Dresden, they say, one way or another, was a lesson for the Germans. We've all been to school. We all know what a lesson is. Now, I'm reminded of a man who was about to be electrocuted in the Cook County Jail in Chicago during the 1930s. They strapped him into the electric chair and asked him if he had anything to say, and he said, yes, this will certainly teach me a lesson. It's not in it.